This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Capp there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Saul, please provide your Spieth updates at the top of every hour. Yeah, he's 7 over, so maybe this will be the last one. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know what's happened to Jordan today. It's nothing good, so we're just going to move past
that.
With?
Blaming his outfit like you do sometimes?
It must be the
outfit. That's it.
It's got to be what he's wearing. Obviously, it's Under Armour screwed him with a bad outfit.
Where's Rory at?
I don't know, man. You know what? Don't worry about it. Jordan's out. The Masters are canceled.
we're just pack it in.
Just pack it in and go home. There's no need to keep this charade up that we feel like the Masters. Jordan's out, and so that's really all that matters. All right, so
Rory's tied for 14th.
Yeah. All right, good. Good for Rory.
He's striking.
DeChambeau looks so freaking good yesterday. That was fun. Max Homa was playing really well with the Tiger groups. That's kind of cool.
What's up with Jason Day's pants?
They're so ugly. They're big and baggy and hideous.
Are they coming back?
I hope not. And poor Jason Day. Like, no one screwed this up more than Jay Day. I'm sorry. You've distracted me into talking about this now. I could talk Masters and, golf fashion for a while.
Sorry.
When Jason Day first came on the scene, when he was a great golfer, he was wearing the Adidas stuff. He looked good. He was all in black all the time. He had, the tight black T-shirts. He looked great. Or tight black polos. He was awesome. He looked like the coolest dude on tour. He was winning. He dominated that PGA championship. J-Day was the best. And then he switched to Nike, and it, all went to hell for him. And he started having, he fell down at Chambers, and he was constantly injured, and his back, and his wife, and his kids were sick. It's just, every day there was some problem with Jason Day.
Your description of what
all those things happen.
This guy's life fell apart.
Switched to Nike and his life fell apart.
If this was this important, what are you going to wear to our race?
Well, he was number one in the world. And then by the end of switching to Nike, he was 185th.
So
his entire game fell off. Just for him. For other guys, they look great in Nike. But for him, it just was never a good fit. He needed to go back to the Adidas TaylorMade thing. And now he's with this other Adidas. Weird new brand. And I can't even really describe what he looks like.
I can't believe he put them on. Or I'll wear these out.
Yeah, I'll wear this. How much you pay me?
Tournament of the
year. I'll wear this.
I'll put these on.
They're like parachute pants.
They're awful.
they're in the wrong decade. That's for sure. And he's off by 20, 30 years. Maybe he's bringing it back. I don't know.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
Thank you, because you've distracted me for a couple of minutes. I had important things to talk about. Mariners get back to it tonight. I kind of threw this into need to know, but I am fascinated to see how they play from here, because you've now gotten your first homestand out of the way. You've gotten your first road trip out of the way. You did not play particularly well on either of them. In fact, as I've said a few times, they really played bad. But they didn't lose that many games despite how bad they played. They managed to win enough here and there to kind of keep themselves alive, right? It wasn't that, they didn't start off. What did I say the Rangers are? 4-10? They didn't start off the Astros, 4-10. They can still battle back from that, too, but the Mariners aren't 4-10, right? They managed to kind of keep themselves alive, winning a game here, comeback win there, extra inning win here. And so you've kind of managed to survive this god-awful start where you've played terrible baseball, enough so that if you can get your guys turned around and just, play into the back of their baseball card, you haven't blown the season in the first 2 weeks. You've not taken advantage of an opportunity, certainly, to get past, and put some distance between you and Texas and Houston. You've not successfully taken advantage of what was in front of you, but you haven't
buried yourself yet,
which is great news.
And everybody's still healthy. They're all positive.
The difference is you've got to play the right way. And for everybody who gets mad every time they hear the words, it's early. Yeah, okay. If they play like this for 162, they're going to stink. They're going to stink. If they play like this, honestly, how have they played? They've played like a 65-win baseball team. Terrible. If they play like that for 162 games, they're going to be in and around the A's and White Sox for the worst team in the league. They're going to be terrible. I don't think they're going to play as badly as they have in the first 2 weeks. So in theory, they should play better than that. They should end up with a better winning percentage, and they you know, should carry them forward. But it's not easy. And the Cubs are a good team. They come in playing pretty well. The Reds are a good team. Lots of young talent. The Reds,
fun team.
The Reds are sort of you, but built with hitting instead of pitching, if that makes sense.
A lot of speed.
Right? Lots of team speed. They're young. They run around. They got fun dudes. De La Cruz, obviously, leading them. Huh?
De La Cruz is so fun.
Oh, he's so fun.
I can't remember how many bags they've already stolen, but it's absurd.
You know what's funny, though? Like, De La Cruz is one of those guys who seems to be incredibly fun, especially when you only watch like the highlights, because his highlights are ridiculous. Most of us aren't watching Reds games every day. I wonder if when you actually watch the Reds every day, because every time I tune in, he makes an error. Doesn't mean he makes 1,000 errors, but every time I watch him, he's got a wild throw because he's like a kid. And he's, what, 6'8" or whatever, playing shortstop. He's like a giraffe out there. And so I do wonder if it's one of those things where his excitement level in the short space is different from how it is in kind of a larger one and the way he helps the team. But he's incredibly fun. Spencer Steer is fun. Encarnacion Strand is fun. Like, they got some dudes. They got some really interesting kind of fun dudes on that team. So both those are going to come in here, and that's not going to be easy. So you got to rise to the occasion. And there are some guys on this team that if they don't pick it up, you're not going to be good. Julio's one. Castillo is two. Polanco is three. Garver is four. If you want to point to four guys that they need significantly more from than they've got, those would be my four. I mean, Julio's your superstar. He's been not one of your best hitters to start. He's been in your bottom few.
Mm-hmm.
You need Julio to be Julio. Do I think it'll happen? Yes. Castillo's the ace of your staff. You need him to pitch at the very least like a good pitcher, and he's not done that. In three starts, he doesn't have a quality start. That goes back then to September where he struggled a little bit there. You need Luis Castillo to be Luis Castillo, or this team's not going to be what it's supposed to be. Flat out, plain and simple. You need Luis Castillo. So those two guys are going to be front and center. And then you've got your two new additions. And like everybody else, they've got to find a way to adjust and adapt to being in this ballpark and playing for this team and understanding what all of that means and getting through the struggles that everybody seems to have as soon as they get here. But they went out and got Jorge Polanco and Mitch Garver because those guys are contributors. And it's not like in Garver's case, not like it's been years since he's been good. That guy was like one of the best hitters in the playoffs last year. So do I think he'll have a moment where it kind of the switch flips? Yes, I think so. I think he will, right? Where he kind of just flips that switch and becomes the player that he's always been. I think that'll happen. But it's not like I got a magic eight ball and I can just tell you what's going to happen next.
Finding a rhythm is hard.
That's the weird thing about baseball. Yep. G's going to ask me all these questions. Is JP going to be good the rest of the year? How the hell do I know? I think he's going to eventually be better than he's been because he's never been this bad before. And so history tells me he'll progress to the mean. I mean, that's what players do generally in baseball, unless they're toast. I don't think JP's toast. He's not at an age to be. So history tells me he will progress to the mean. You think Julio's toast? I don't think Julio's toast. So he will probably progress to the mean. So in theory, there's a lot of good things ahead of this team, and thankfully they haven't cost themselves dearly yet. But time runs out quick, right? It goes from early to late in a hurry. And so I love the sense of urgency that they had in that last game in Toronto. I hope that's a message to the team, and I hope it carries over to tonight into the rest of this homestand because they need to start winning some games at some point. They need to start showing they are the team they were built to be on paper.
Really quick, how many bags have the Mariners stolen so far?
I know Dylan Moore's got one.
Just guess.
Two.
Four.
Okay. Yeah, you got to steal bags.
Knowing that, how many do you think the Reds have?
12.
23.
Sheesh. All right, we got to go. We'll take a quick break. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
All right, it is time for the Mariners to get themselves going. It's been obviously a very slow start to the year. But after the day off yesterday, to come home, collect themselves, they get back to it tonight. A couple more National League clubs coming in. Cubbies, then Reds. Look, it's way too early to watch the scoreboard, but you know, it's kind of fun sometimes, at least to offer some perspective, because while the Mariners have not played well, they're only two games out of first place. Texas shut out last night by Oakland. The Astros have had an awful start to the year. They're 4-10, and they got some injury concerns that are starting to mount as well. So, you know, you still have all kinds of opportunity in front of you with 149 games left to play. Bryce Miller will take the mound tonight against Jordan Wicks. And that game will be on Apple TV. So if you're looking for the game and you're accustomed to finding it en route, it'll be on Apple TV. And of course, you can always listen to it right here on Seattle Sports. We'll talk to Shannon Dreyer in 45 minutes. We can get a injury update from her. I would like to know what's going on with Brian Wu, because yesterday we did hear about a couple of the relievers.
Matt Brash threw a live BP, and that went very well. So we keep our fingers crossed. He can keep progressing there. Santos has picked up, he's in a throwing program now, working his way towards getting on the mound, but he's a little bit farther behind. So I don't want to get too much more detail, no timelines, nothing like that, but it has been very positive.
Yeah, so it sounds like Matt Brash is going to be a little bit closer than Gregory Santos, but you know, at some point we should be seeing both of these two guys who were major weapons for them. Now, all of that said, there are years where there are guys who are injured. You're like, oh, if they can just get so-and-so back, it should solve the problems they've been having. This does not have that feel to me. They have not struggled to shut teams down in the seventh and eighth, which is sort of where you're expecting Brash and Santos to really make a difference. Not that they've been perfect in those innings, but that's not been the reason they've struggled. That's not going to fix the defense. That's not going to fix the offensive problems, but it should add a whole lot more strikeouts, which are never a bad thing.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, great interview, as always, with John Schneider yesterday on with Wyman and Bob. And of all the things that jump out, I'm going to play you his sound here. He's talking about Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix coming in for visits. But what he says at the very end about Sam Howell, I actually thought is the most interesting thing he said yesterday.
Yeah, no, we don't study quarterbacks. Just because we've only drafted two, I get it.
Yeah.
We want to get to know these guys a little bit better and spend time with them. And Spencer's a real impressive guy, and so is Bo. And we just wanted to be able to spend a little bit more time with those guys, have the coaches be able to spend more time with them on the board. And, yeah, you want to cautious of their time as well. They're out here on West Coast visits, so try to set those up when they're, you know, visiting the Rams, the Chargers, the Niners, and try to fit those in. And we love Sam. We love what we did, being able to acquire Sam. You know, we talked about the age. He's got the experience, but that doesn't preclude us from, you know, what we do in the draft.
Hear that last part? It doesn't preclude us from what we do in the draft. And maybe that means a third or fourth round pick. But if he's saying it doesn't preclude you, it doesn't preclude you. What if there is a quarterback that they want at number 16? What if Penix is still there? What if J.J. McCarthy slips? That's not going to happen. What if they do truly love Bo Nix, which would surprise me? But we'll see. Like, I do think that I guess everything is open. I would be surprised if they took a quarterback, especially in the first round of this draft. But just after listening to John, I guess anything is possible.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
The Shohei Ohtani gambling case is changing rapidly. We are getting a lot more information. If you remember, when we first found out, kind of said, look, one of a few things is going on here. Either Shohei is gambling or this guy stole the money from him. And I could see how both would have been true. Both were sort of things where you could write a script that made sense. Well, now we're finding out that Ipe is actually being charged by the federal attorneys here for $16 million in wire theft.
Our investigation has revealed that due to the position of trust he occupied with Mr. Ohtani, Mr. Mitsuhara had unique access to Mr. Ohtani's finances. Mr. Mitsuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to take advantage of Mr. Ohtani. Mr. Mitsuhara used and abused that position of trust in order to plunder Mr. Ohtani's bank account to the tune of over $16 million.
It's a pretty compelling case, certainly, that the U.S. attorney has put together. And as you read through the 37-page document or whatever it is in the filing, It looks really, really bad for Mizuhara. Allegedly, he telephoned the bank and falsely identified himself as Ohtani to trick bank employees into authorizing wire transfers. Apparently, it got to the point that the illegal bookmaker was threatening to approach Shohei on the street outside his home to ask for money because he was under the impression that Shohei had bankrolled the whole thing and guaranteed him. Ohtani denied all of the other folks access to this one account. So that would be kind of explaining why his agents and other folks didn't have any access to it. So it certainly is a very compelling case right now against his interpreter, former interpreter, Ipe. Let's see. Bryson DeChambeau continuing to lead the Masters. He is 7-under. Scottie Scheffler 6-under. And then you got Højgaard and Homa at 5-under. And then a few other guys after that. So that's your Masters update. No, I'm not going to give you a Jordan Spieth update. He's out. He's don't worry about it. It's all fine.
We have moved on.
We've moved on. We're past that. Nobody needs to know where Jordan's at.
No.
That's everything you need to know. We do a quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. It's all you get. I'm sorry. That's okay. All you get. I don't know where Tiger's at today. I haven't seen where Tiger is. I was sort of trying to check here on the leaderboard. I don't know where Tiger is.
Did he have an hour ago?
Oh, here's Tiger. Hold on. He is 1-over. So he's lost two strokes today. It might be windy again. I haven't really had a chance to watch this morning.
Today
it might
was supposed to be more than yesterday.
Even more than yesterday. Yeah. I mean, yesterday was brutal. Watching some of these guys hit, seeing the ball just take off in totally different directions. It was obviously a pretty big challenge for them. Okay. Mora's got some questions. Mora came up with a great idea. Let me just start there. Mora came up with a great idea. And what I love about it is that it preys upon our emotions, our guts, and much more so than our brains and our logic. And it kind of turns us all into lizards. So we're going to do that next together. We're all going to be lizards. It's coming up next on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, it's Brock and Salk, CL Sports, 710CLSports.com. Love this idea from Mora. We are under 2 weeks to go here before the NFL draft. Seahawks drafting at number 16. The mocks are coming in fast and furious. It's like you get two or three, it feels like, every day. Everybody's throwing out mocks and more mocks and more mocks. And some of them are familiar, right? I think Troy Fautano is probably the most common name we've seen. And there are a few others that you get kind of over and over again. Then you get some outliers. You get some that include trades. So the mocks are kind of all over the map. So Mora, in her infinite wisdom, and I love this, said, all right, it's one thing to talk through what makes the most sense. Use your logic. This makes sense here. This is why they would want this person. These are the traits, etc. And then there's your gut. Then there's your emotions. Then there's your instant lizard brain reaction of how are you going to feel in the moment when you hear some of these names. So, Mora, you put together a list here of, I don't know, five or six names that have been commonly mocked at least once.
I didn't want to just, like, make up. I wanted to pick guys that people think actually could have a chance.
Absolutely. So you looked at, I don't know, we got six or seven mocks here. And you put some players to them. And so we will give our reaction, how I will feel. And I know you're going to give yours as well.
Justin's going to set this up for us so that we can pretend it's draft day.
How will you feel if and when you hear these this called by the
Seahawks?
Right.
So again, put yourself in those shoes. It's draft night. You're with your friends or wherever you do it in your man cave, wherever you watch your draft. Your immediate lizard brain reaction would be. So I'll start. Okay, ready?
Okay, yes.
Okay, with the 16th pick.
Yes.
In the 2024 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Troy Fautanu, tackle, University of Washington.
Wait, what's happening?
I'm just giving you my musical reaction to how I will feel. The right stuff. That's the right pick.
Of course you had to bring music into this.
Well, I just wanted to help, you know.
I thought I screwed that up.
I thought that's what you wanted, Mora. I thought you wanted this. I thought you were saying you wanted my reaction. And so my reaction would be that's the right stuff. That's what you got to do.
The right stuff.
I would be happy if Troy Fautanu was here. It's the right thing to do. Is it the best thing to do? I don't know. But it like nobody certainly would criticize you for doing the wrong thing. You're doing the right thing. It's the right stuff.
I'm just imagining you at every social event when there's an emotional reaction, you're frantically searching for a song to play.
Oh, you know, hang on,
I want to just tell you how I feel about this. Hang on, going through Spotify.
I
knew you two were up to something when I got here this morning. You were like huddled in a corner and I could tell you were talking about songs. And I was like, are you doing ranked? And you were like, no.
No. Just a little surprise for you, Maura.
All right.
How will you feel if it's Troy
Fontana? To be honest, I think my very first initial reaction would be like, what? They took the guy that everyone mocked this week? Because that would be the first time ever, I think, right. In John
and by everyone,
tenure.
Mel Kiper, Bruce Feldman, Daniel Jeremiah.
That would be a shocker to me. But yeah, I would be stoked because I think that as much as offensive line is not like the sexy pick in the draft, that is something that they need, and everyone seems to think that he's a beast and that you can move him to guard.
There's a couple of reasons why I say the right stuff. One, he can play guard, which they absolutely need. Two, he can play tackle, which gives you defense against Abe Lucas if there's injury issues, and defense overall about Charles Cross, either if he gets hurt or if in a couple of years here you run into a contract dispute, whatever, you know, you got this guy for 2 years after that. So I do think that there are some real advantages to it. And then more than anything, he's just physical. And I want them to be more physical. So if he is the pick and they are specifically adding to their physicality, I would say that's the right stuff.
And not only could he play guard, right. I can't remember who it was that we talked to, but someone said that it was impressive to them that not only can he do it? He has made a point to say, I will do that.
Yes.
Some guys are like, I guess I'll do it if you make me.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'll do that. Whatever you need.
He's already put it out there.
I'll do the dance even if they draft him. I'll do my feet will kind of swing back and forth like that. The right stuff. All right. There you go. So that's Troy Fontana.
With the 16th pick, actually, we have a trade.
Yeah. Oh, a trade.
We have a trade.
Okay.
Okay. Seahawks have traded picks with the Cardinals. From 16, they will now be picking at number 23. Okay. So with the 23rd pick, 2024 NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Graham Barton, center from Duke.
Who are you? I don't know you. If they take Duke center Graham Barton with the 23rd pick, my reaction will be, who? They did what?
You can thank Lance Zierlein for this.
Who?
Lance Zierlein is the one that said Graham Barton. Seahawks trade picks with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Center.
So that's probably what they're going to do. Lance probably has this one nailed. We've not talked about Graham Barton, have we?
I think my reaction would be,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too sold on that one. I did look a little further into him. He played left tackle for 3 seasons. Center was what he did in 2020 because they had injuries, but it's weird that that's what he's kind of being considered as for the draft. He's 6'5", 313.
Ooh.
Arms on the shorter side, 32 7/8. I don't think I'd be too excited about that one, not going to lie. Yeah. Especially because...
Would anybody?
I saw Mel Kiper call him a plug-and-play center. They just drafted Olu Oluwatimi last year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind them necessarily drafting a center, but in the first round
he's
after
played
trading
tackle,
back.
So he can move around, but what haven't we talked before about guys being kind of...
Positional flexibility.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry. All right.
Okay.
That's Graham Barton. Okay. Emotional reaction of who?
Ready to move on.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Now, this one back at 16. With the 16th pick in the 2024 Seattle Seahawks select Amarius Mims, tackle, Georgia.
Oh, no. Look at who they let in the back door. Long Beach to Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Abe Lucas is done.
Abe
Lucas
about.
Knee is not what you want it to be.
Okay.
That would be a big oh, no to Abe Lucas. Now, maybe it means one of those guys is going to slide into guard. I don't think it's Mims, right? He's a giant of a human if I have the right guy.
He's 6'8", 340.
Yeah, I don't think he's sliding anywhere.
His hands are 11 and a quarter.
Yeah.
Staying.
I mean, he's a huge, huge human being. So it's not that I necessarily don't like the pick, the physicality, et cetera. Unless you tell me, and I've asked around, right? Can Abe Lucas be a guard? And everyone's kind of like, I can, but that's not necessarily the goal.
Yeah.
I would treat that as an oh no about Abe Lucas's knee.
Maura?
I feel like yours are songs, and I'm learning that mine are more like sound effects is my initial reaction, because I was like, ooh. My last one was,
Like intrigued? Intrigued, ooh? Or like?
I mean, yeah, I think because he is such a, like, physical specimen, mm-hmm. I would be excited, and I would think that they were probably doing that as insurance for Abe Lucas. So that's the part that would be disappointing, because you, having already spent draft capital there so recently,
I don't want a first round pick to be insurance.
You don't
you know what I mean?
Lot of picks already. Like it just
signed George.
It's not
Fant
a guy that
insurance.
I would be upset about them taking, but I would be upset about what you said, what it implies.
Yep. And he's not moving inside the way Faltano is, so I think that would be a little bit more concerning than the Faltano.
That was Danny Kelly of The Ringer, by the way. For those who are mad about that.
Well,
that
Danny, I'm going to give you the big
and
oh no.
On, and
most
he said
F,
actually
Nate Dogg.
What you did in that mock. He said it's because he worries about Abe Lucas.
Yeah, there you go. Very very concerning. By the way, underrated song. Most F's awesome, and that is a great great song.
So anything with Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
It's
obviously.
Pretty solid here.
And I think Farrah Monch is in that song.
Okay, we have a trade.
Oh, we got a trade.
We have a trade.
Okay.
The Seahawks and the Steelers have made a trade. The Seahawks will now pick at number 20 and number 84. The Steelers will be picking at 16 and 151. So with the number 20 pick in the NFL draft, the Seahawks select Jackson Powers Johnson, guard, Oregon.
Ain't no complaints. Nah. Rex in the bank. What you think? Huh? We got some rain.
It's your favorite song? Bang.
Wow. Robbing the bank. Bang. Pull out the bank. You was a strange.
Okay. No complaints.
No complaints. I wouldn't necessarily complain about it. I mean, the guard center thing is, again, I think it's a little early to do that, as I said with Graham Barton. But in this case, you're getting 84. So it would sort of, I don't know what you were getting in the Cardinals trade. That wasn't part of it. But I'd need to like 84 in order to like this. I'd need to like what you got in the third round there at number 84 in order to like this, I would say. But I do think that an extra third round pick would be pretty valuable in this draft. So, you know, maybe that turns into Tavondre Sweat. I don't know. Maybe it turns into Zach Zinter. So, like, there's a lot of reasons I could be convinced.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would, like, love this, but I don't know that I could complain about it. So I'm just going to go with Offset and Drake.
Craig in Spokane says, yes, bonus ranked.
Yeah, great. That's pretty much what you did.
All right, Maura.
My initial reaction is...
We should use that beat for
no
something.
No thanks. It is a good one.
No complaints. So it's all complaints.
Like,
if you're not getting
a second round pick to move back, I would rather take Troy Faltano.
That's a good point. You know what? Maura, you convinced me. Now I'm with you.
I think Jackson Powers Johnson, he's 6'3", 328. His arms are pretty short, 32. Lance Erline did call him a salty competitor, but said his rookie season could be bumpy if he has to play right away. Mm-hmm. They need someone who can play.
Yeah, okay. I know Brock likes him. He did a draft profile on him, and I know he likes him quite a bit. So
we've got a tackle, a center, a tackle, and a guard.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, no complaints, I guess, for me.
Okay. Up next.
We got two more?
Two more.
All right, we got about 4 minutes, and we're talking to Condotus.
16th pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Seattle Seahawks select Byron Murphy. Defensive tackle, Texas.
Interesting. Byron Murphy. You better,
you better,
you
better. You better. You better, you
better, you better. This one's kind of fun.
You like it, clearly.
You'd be making yourself
difference
better.
In the last song, and that's
what we're going with the Who. We got two Who songs in here, and then a bunch of rap songs. I would say if they do that, like, yeah, that sounds good. You better do that, but it better work out. You know what I mean?
Oh, if you're betting on it, you better
It better work. Like, if you're going to go with Byron Murphy, I'm not going to complain about it, certainly, but that better work. That better work out, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Maura?
Yeah, I think I would say, all right, Mike McDonald. Like, that would make me think, like, he's getting a say with Schneider for sure. And, you know, he talked about wanting to build that like wall up the middle. And I don't know. I would think that he's getting a pretty clear say in implementing his plan. And I would hope that this defense would look a lot different this year and be like immediately better if you're going to spend that kind of capital in the first round. Yeah. But I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Okay, out of the offensive line. Last one, final one.
Last
you guys
one.
Ready? Okay,
yep.
With the 16th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, Seattle Seahawks. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, University of Nashville. Let's go. Let me know.
team. I'm like, heck yeah. And that's the thing. We don't, like, you're just into the song vibing.
Stop talking over the music, Mara.
We don't know if this is best for them because they probably need more picks early on. But
let's,
like,
go.
That's the most fun, right?
Your reaction is LFG.
Yeah.
Let's go. How could that not be your reaction if they draft? And by the way, I think that'll be my reaction with a few quarterbacks. Like, if they take a quarterback, I will say, let's go. Yeah. If they trade up, if they do anything like that, they're not going to. I don't think they're even going to draft Penix. But if they do... I mean, what could call for Lil Jon more than that? An Aussie.
There's a texture that's saying, I had to have helped you find that Drake and Offset. They don't believe you know that song.
What are you talking about? What's the matter with you people? Why?
True. She did not.
You think Mora helped me find music? Have you listened to this show ever before? You know, I'm sick of being...
I do suggest a lot of hip-hop songs for Ranked.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
I did not help him find that song.
What credit?
Ain't no complaints.
Come on now.
Racks in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
What you think? Huh? We got some rain.
Rain.
Leo S. Thang. Robbing the bank.
Bang.
Pull out the bank.
Big Offset guy.
I kind of like Offset.
I mean, you sent me one a long time ago. Was it Migos that you just loved? It was a Carpool Karaoke, I think.
Yeah, I like Migos in general. I think Migos is pretty good. And I love the SNL bit that they did a few years ago.
Oh, with Timothy Chalamet?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, dang, okay.
It's with, the bit basically is they come in to talk to their therapist. It's so funny, man.
I do know what you're talking about.
It's a really good bit. It's Migos talking to their therapist. And Cecily Strong plays the therapist.
I got it.
Chris Redd's in it. He's very funny. It's a good bit.
This Saturday should be good, too. Ryan Gosling and Chris Stapleton.
Is that true?
SNL, yeah.
Man, if one other person tells me I would like Chris Stapleton, I like...
You're just mad people are suggesting music?
No, but just like, I know, I've heard it. It's okay. Like, Salk, I think you might like this. I know you don't like country, but I think you'd like Chris Stapleton. Like, yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I don't know if I'm, like, choosing to go, like, see it or anything. All right. Fun stuff. Thank
Not
you, Mora.
Crazy train for Penix?
No.
No.
We're going with Let's Go. Let's do some Blue 88.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike
Salk.
Oh, with no Brock today, let's go with an old friend, Bob Condotta, joining us from the Seattle Times. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, Mike. Hey, yeah. How you doing?
You're a big Migos guy, too, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Wrong guy. Sorry. You're more of a, we bond over Rush and some other music like that, probably more than Migos. All right, Bob, you were out there this week. What stood out from just sort of chatting with the players the other day? What was your big takeaway from them showing up for voluntary workouts?
I mean, everybody's saying it's so early, so it's really hard to draw any conclusions about, like, where things are headed or things like that. But, you know, it struck me that they're all just kind of saying the right things. And, you know, for a couple of them, it's significant change. You know, Tyler Lockett and Geno Smith have, Tyler Lockett obviously been here the longest, and Geno Smith tenure suddenly is among the second or third longest, I think, on the team. You know, it's going to be really new for them. And I think they did make that clear that they were surprised about the change from Pete. And that I think it is going to take them a little bit of time to adjust to the fact that Pete wasn't going to be there anymore. And so that they're, this is going to be some significant change coming for them. And so, it's good they have all this time now to kind of really start that process, since you don't play a game now for 6 months.
How did you take the comments from Chenna specifically, who seemed to say, hey, last year was kind of messy and it feels like a much more positive vibe in the building this year? What did you get out of that?
Well, I mean, obviously it was. I mean, the season didn't go the way, you know, especially some of the games that they lost, you know, some of those midseason games. You know, it's interesting from Senna's standpoint. He only played six games, and he wasn't here for some of that, you know, for some of the period when that was going on. So I think maybe in his specific case, some of that was also just his situation, I think, seeping through a little bit that, you know, that was the first time he'd been hurt, and he had to go through his own situation. So I took a little bit of what he said as from kind of his situation as well, you know, and so for him, I think it's a much better situation. Obviously, coming in that he's kind of getting past this, sounds like he's going to be fine. I mean, my own take a little bit is I think guys are also just struggling for what to say because they don't, you know, this is all really, really new that they haven't gone through this with the Seahawks, and it's only been a couple of days so far. So I think it's really hard for them to draw conclusions. So I think they're trying to come up with something because they're being asked, and everybody wants to put a positive spin on it right now.
All right, question number two. So they trade for Sam Howell a couple of weeks ago, and I was sort of under the impression at that point that probably took them out of the running for a quarterback in the draft. And then Schneider yesterday with Wyman and Bob said that it would not preclude them from drafting a quarterback. Do you think that the Seahawks could still take a quarterback in the draft in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, he said that to us when we talked to him at the league meetings a couple of weeks ago as well, right after they made that trade. And, you know, he said the biggest thing it did was it meant they don't have to. You know, if you got into the draft with only Geno, then you were going to have to take a quarterback somewhere because you're going to probably have to sign a drafted rookie free agent probably as well to add a third quarterback to the roster. So I think one way or the other, they're going to add a quarterback here. But I don't think it precludes it at all. You know, they didn't really invest that much. You know, the trade they made for Sam Howell isn't, you know, they sort of just moved down with a couple of their picks. But it wasn't like they gave the picks away. And then there's almost zero financial investment in Sam Howell. I mean, there's no guaranteed money and contracts of about $1 million, you know, salaries of about $1 million. So you could easily fit another quarterback onto the roster here. So I believe him on that. I you know, like maybe last year there was a little bit of subterfuge going on because, you know, they kind of publicly took pictures with guys they knew they weren't going to have a chance to get and all that. But I think right now everything is new. You know, you got a new head coach. I think you throw out a lot of the past precedents out the window. And I think if someone really fell in their lap at 16, you know, I think they could take a shot at it. And then I also just think, but, you know, somewhere else in the draft, I think if there's a guy in the third or fourth round that's there, I think they could do that as well. I think this is sort of a time when, you know, you're resetting the roster a little bit. So I definitely think they're looking.
Let's say they did trade for select a quarterback with 16. Do you think they could look to then trade Howell to one of the other teams that was interested in him later in the draft?
Maybe, except I think a couple of those teams have all kind of gotten quarterbacks since then. I mean, I think it's the Rams, Vikings, and Denver, I think, were the teams that were that were among those. That my understanding is who were the teams that were interested in. In Howell. So maybe you'd circle back and see if there's interest out there for him. But, you know, it's also those teams might then also take care of that in the draft itself, you know, themselves as well. I think Denver definitely will. I think everybody, I think the consensus right now is Denver's probably going to add a quarterback, you know, with their first pick. So if they do that, I doubt they'd be interested in doing that. So I don't know how great of a market there'd really be for that. I think, you know, and I think they like Sam Howell a lot. You know, I think they want to throw him into the competition and see. But again, I think this is the time in the history of the franchise to go ahead and, you know, kind of have a quarterback, maybe get you know, sort of like where they were in 2012 when they drafted Russell after they signed Matt Flynn. And, you know, that was about the fourth quarterback in 3 years that they'd added to the roster. I think this is sort of a time in the franchise to be like that again.
Question number three. What's your expectation moving forward for Abe Lucas? Whether it's health-wise, position-wise, what do you see in the cards for Abe?
Yeah, I know there's been speculation about moving him inside. I haven't heard that at all. You know, he's never played inside, so it would be asking him to do something he doesn't have any real game experience doing. But maybe you could give that a shot, I guess, depending on what happens. But I haven't gotten that vibe that that's something they're really considering. I do just think they signed George Fant just to just to sort of, you know, they don't want to get stuck where they were last year, where they suddenly, you know, when they had some injuries there, they suddenly were, you know, signing 41-year-old Jason Peters off the street and having him have to play. I think they're just trying to avoid that with the fan signing, because I think they feel like that really did kind of, you know, derail the offense a little bit last year when both those guys got hurt the way they did. So I think they're just kind of, you know, see what, you know, covering themselves there. They said that Lucas is going to be ready for the start of the season, but that they hope that the surgery that he had after the year, and we didn't get great details on exactly what that fixed, but John Schneider did just tell us that you know, he thought that was going to fix everything and get him healthy. They anticipate him being ready for the start of training camp. So you know, I think we maybe need to wait until then and see if he is ready, and then see where it goes from there. But you know, I who knows what they do in the draft, and so maybe they do something in the draft that changes my thought on that. But at the moment, I do just think they want to, you know, they anticipate him being their starting right tackle, and they signed George Fant just to, you know, to be that guy who can be that swing backup that, you know, I think they felt again like that that really hurt them last year when they didn't have an experienced another experienced tackle on the roster.
Great answers. Great stuff. Ably done, Bob. That's Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times filling in for Brock today with some Blue 88 answer. So just 2 weeks away, not even. Are you starting to get a sense? Do you have a gut feeling about what they do at 16?
Not really, huh? I think they, you know, it's been interesting. You see kind of more and more of the mocks and stuff like that. And while I know everybody makes fun of those, I do always feel like those, you know, those are a little bit of a reflection of what people of the general tenor of what the draft is. And it seems like you see a little bit more, other than the Caleb Williams pick, a little bit more uncertainty in what's going to happen at the top of the draft that I think we've had in some of these years. And so I think the Seahawks are really going to try to be light on their feet and just see what happens and see who's available there and be ready for something unexpected happening and be ready to kind of pounce on that. So I don't know that they're sitting there locking themselves in that we for sure are going to do this, you know, do A, B, or C no matter what. I think they're going to wait and see a little bit of who's available and you know, try to have a lot of scenarios in their minds there, because I think 16 is right at that spot where, you know, you have to be a little bit more prepared for that, you know, where you know that there's some things that might happen, but you also know that if something really unexpected happens, you know, a couple of picks ahead of you, then that can really set off a domino effect that maybe makes somebody available to you hadn't anticipated.
Great stuff. Bob, appreciate it. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. You guys know to follow Bob and to read him on the Seattle Times, seattletimes.com. Thank you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, there you go. There's Bob Condotta, beat reporter, longtime now beat reporter, covering the Seahawks for the Times, and some good stuff there for Blue 88. All right, well, people seem to be back on the quarterback bandwagon after everybody kind of jumping off the idea. All of a sudden, we're all flooding back to the possibility. Maybe there's some smoke screen, Seahawks trying to convince other people to trade in and around, but maybe they'll take a quarterback at 16. And to that, I will say, let's go.
Have you heard of Chris Stapleton? You should probably give him a
shot. I have, and then I've listened to him, and I thought he was just okay.
What if you just gave him a shot?
Yeah, if I just tried it,
yeah,
then maybe I'd like it. I think it's fine. I don't not like it.
Just give him a shot.
Like, it's,
you know, I'm not a big music person.
No.
I would say more than just okay. I think his voice is pretty.
Just give him a shot.
I'm not even like the biggest fan, but from what I've heard, I think his voice is pretty.
Yeah, he's
incredible.
Got a very good voice. Absolutely. He's got a good voice. Don't really like his music that much. I think it's fine. All right. Coming up, Shannon Dreyer is going to join us. We'll switch gears, talk some baseball. What do the Mariners need to do now that they're home? And what's the biggest concern? That's next on Brock and Salk.